Hey, so the buggers, I mean, well, the burners at the Burning Man Festival. Thank you, Chris, for posting this. The Black Rock Concert Desert in Nevada. This is a site of the Burning Man this year. They're inundated with biting bugs. Now, I'm looking at the pictures, and they are, well, some are very small, some are very, very big and green, and it's kind of like a movie, sci-fi movie. The Black Rock Desert Nevada site was this year's Burning Man, inundated with biting bugs, it says. And then it goes down here. Listen to this. One of the guys writes, "We are here to tell you that all the rumors are true. They're everywhere. They bite. They crawl all over you. They get up in on you." According to one blog post, it says this, "We all know is that if you pick up some wood, you're likely to uncover hundreds or thousands of things. The bugs have been spotted at multiple locations," he wrote in the blog. And then we have this. "We don't know where they came from, but there are two main theories. One is that the spring and summer rain has hatched critters that lie dormant or usually come to life at a different time of the year. Or maybe like hitchhiked on a load of wood from somewhere. Or maybe, as Shade postulated, out of Man Base, there's a Johnny bug seed making the rounds at night, sprinkling them everywhere and anywhere. According to Curly's post, the hope is that the heat and the dryness will knock down the bug population." Well, you know, God did send frogs. He did send some other critters in Pharaoh's day. The Burning Man, of course, a festival, drugs, occultism, hedonism is the big word there. One person said they'd been bitten, and nasty red welts there in that Nevada desert. Burning Man, the burners, as they've been called, are experiencing that. Hey, this is the Ragged Edge Radio broadcast, Russ Dizdar, on this Thursday night. Glad to be with you from all over the world. Nobody loves you more. Nobody knows you better. Nobody desires you like God. And in your life, in your walk, nobody can help you. Nobody can understand you. You want to pour it out to someone? Pour it out to God. That's what the Psalms are all about. Look at the Psalms, how the writer was able to pour out his heart, bring his pain, bring all of it before God. And God, as he made God his refuge, God then engaged, delivered, stepped in, spoke to him. Again and again, God demonstrated his grace and mercy in that man's life. Now, I want to talk to you today about, we've titled this, I know yesterday we did this, because I'm fascinated by this book I'm reading, and it's all about the theme that we have studied and researched for over 30 years, the master race issue, the past, the present, development, and the future. The ultimate future is Revelation 19:19. So it's of big interest in prophecy, but boots on the ground. You know, I believe, again, maybe 40 million or more worldwide are being developed towards those days. That means a lot. It really does. The transmutation of humanity. It's always that when it comes to the dark side's engagement with humanity. Deception, then devolution and then destruction, always in that order. And since we're living in the times of the most unprecedented deception globally, well, we've only seen a scratch. As bad as it is, it's only a scratch of what is to come. So tonight, plugging the holes of demonic access. If there are more demons and more access and more demons coming through and more practitioners and more summoners, more maguses and sorcerers and all the rest, well, then we're going to see a lot more without question. That's the biblical prophecy. End of days. The reason they become so chaotic and bad is because of the presence of the dark side. You will not be able to explain it otherwise, other than blame shifting. Well, it's the governments, it's the in the water, it's so many other reasons why. But the real reason is spiritual beings, entities, and they're all over the place. They are literally all over humanity. Power to masquerade, but nevertheless, in unprecedented numbers, they're here. And we've seen but a scratch of what we'll see accelerate in the years to come. Tonight, the Ragged Edge Radio broadcast, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, every day during the week. I am glad you're here. I am glad you're with us. I am glad you're praying for us, because another 250,000 downloads of this or more will go out before the end of the month. And we just want you to know, from around the world, 150 nations plus, we love you. God loves you. We're here to say that God can interact and engage you even as you listen tonight. Hey, I want to tell you right now, as you're listening to this, a little bit later on tonight, Acceleration Radio. I put it on my Facebook. Now listen, if you get a chance, go to shatterthedarkness.net. Shatterthedarkness.net. Top left-hand side says Facebook. Click on follow. Get connected with that. Also, if you scroll down that side of the shatterthedarkness.net page, you can put your email address in and subscribe. About every 2 weeks, we put out an update of all the things going on. Make sure when you do that, you confirm your email address. A number of folks, they've told us by a few hundreds, put their email in, but they did not follow up by clicking on the confirmation. So you got to do that if you want that bi-monthly update, a little bit of a newsletter, other things that are put in there. But tonight we're going to be on with L.A. Marzulli, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Acceleration Radio, L.A.'s radio broadcast this Thursday night. So we're going to be on with him late this evening. I'm taking a look at another thing that is going to relate directly to this idea of plugging the holes. Now, I don't know about you, but if there's, and again, you think in terms of water getting into your boat, you're out in the middle of the lake and, you know, the boat begins to spring a little bit of a leak, you want to plug the holes. And again, if you take your gun and fire a bullet through the bottom of the boat and create a pretty good sized hole, well, you've just given access. You've just given a topos. You've opened a door. There's, in a real sense, the biblical Greek word, there's a legal access, but I mean a real access. A doorway has been opened. And again, with what we've seen in the last four, five, 6 decades, the practitioners that know how to open the doors have been doing it. And so the numbers of the doors open constantly in rituals and the things that are done, well, it's just growing in such vast numbers. Now, those that have their eyes lit by biblical prophecy and the rest of the Word of God, this is not a surprise. And if you're truly saturated with the Word of God and you got it put into practice in your life, then you're going to be aware, alert. You're going to have authority to deal with things and the armor of God, and of course, and you're going to be able to be very strong, a light shining in a dark place. Now, I've been sharing that word, and I really think I'm going to adopt that word, that one out of 2 Peter 1:19. Listen carefully to this word. I'm going to probably adopted this, because out of the book of Philippians chapter 2, when it talks about how we live in a crooked and depraved generation, in which we shine like the, now the word is like the stars of the universe, or the stars of, it's the word from, we get the word luminaries. So I'm telling you again, believers in Christ are the real luminaries. And if you understand that principle there, you know that no matter how dark it gets, you and I should shine all the brighter with an indestructible hope and gospel and Savior and eternal life that we have. Now, like 2 Peter 1:19, listen carefully to the words. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. A light that shines in the dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. 2 Peter 1:19. Good memory verse. Good verse to understand. It's the Word of God, it's alive. It's alive. God's presence is in the Word. It's active. It's powerful. and it lights up. And that's what I'm saying about the scripture, that when we really begin to know it well, without question, it draws us deep into deep relationship with God. We come to a deeper understanding and experience of the salvation that we have and what is to come. And I believe the Word of God will equip you and strengthen you and continue to build hope and enable your life to become very, very strong in your walk. One more time, 2 Peter 1:19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well, that ye take heed, as into a light that shineth in a dark place, to the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. It's all about the end of the age. It's all about the coming of Christ. And it's all about the light of Scripture, the light of Christ, the light of prophecy, this that shines, as the Scripture says, in a dark place. Here's a dark place. Top of the article says, Slender Man stabbing subject said she still may attack if the character, Slender Man, asks her to do so. So I watched the videos on this again, and you know that I did a series on this. See, when we read in 1 Timothy 4:1, it talks about how the demonic realm is coming to deceive the many, and then to engage some to inspire them. So you got, you know, demon entities, spirits, engaging individuals to inspire them to write. It's called didache daimonia, a doctrines or teachings of the demons. And so when we think in terms of that, we might think in terms of Alice Bailey's writings and other occult writings correctly. But we've seen for the last number of years, we've mentioned this, and I call it charged writings. That is, demonically inspired, empowered, and the demonic then has either attachment to or is in close proximity to. They attend to their work, and they want individuals to read because it helps open up doors in their lives so that they themselves can get in. So charged writing, daimonia, I believe, is also being done in lyrics and songs, in movies, in gaming, but also in fantasy writings like Slender Man. See, I believe, my personal belief, it might be just my opinion, but the individual that has written all these stories about Slender Man, whether witting or unwitting, I believe that this entity, this demon masquerading, has inspired not only the writings, because the characteristics of Slender Man in the writings are the exact characteristics of a demon or the devil himself. But I might go a little further to say, from my understanding of things over all these years now, that even the picture of Slender Man may be a crude manifestation, picture manifestation of what the entity is like. And so the entity's put out there, and boys and girls are reading charged fantasy. Spiritually, dark side, spiritually, inspired and attended to, attached with, and the entity is operative. Now, the little girls that believed that Slender Man was alive and real, they felt that they needed to kill their friend in a ritual so that Slender Man would come and get them and take them, the 12 and 13-year-old girl, take them to his castle in the woods. They so believed in the entity, so believed in the being, that they actually took their friend out, tricked her, deceived her, and knowingly did stab her over and over and over again. Little girl, she crawled right out of the woods, and of course she's being, you know, she's alive and by this time now out of the hospital and moving forward with her life. But one of the girls that did the stabbings, Morgan Geisler, I listened to the psychiatrist talk today about all her delusions and her fantasies and all the rest. And they asked her, and they testified in court that this girl, Morgan, was asked, if Slender Man would ask you to kill somebody again, would you do it? And she said, well, yeah. If he asked me, I mean, what they're saying in this is that the girl believes not only is Slender Man alive, an entity that interacts with her, speaks to her, but that entities from the Harry Potter series, matter of fact, if you see a picture of the girl, she looks like she could be on the set of Harry Potter. And so the desensitizing and the dumbing down of the Harry Potter stuff with the high-level occultism charged, not fantasy, but charged teachings and occultism and experiences and spells and rituals and powers and all the rest, including that in the movies, in the books, an absolute, they completely, absolutely just carved God out of the existence of any of that material. Well, that's again, you know, a evidence of the dark side, always wanting to rid a mind or heart from God. So we read 2 Corinthians 4:4, Satan, the God, small g, God of this age, he blinds the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see. Now, the goal is not to see the light of the gospel of Christ, who is the icon, the image, the exact representation, God in visible human flesh. So that's the goal. Dark side wants to do that. The spirit of Antichrist operates in the Gnostics, the New Age, and mystery religions, and cults, and ufology, and even remote viewing revelations. So that presence of the spirit of Antichrist, take a read, 1 John chapter 4, read deeply, read hard, and there is this presence that is operative, and if we do not see and understand the growing, well, the unbelievable growth in the last, you know, four decades, as I've mentioned many times in the past, the occult historian James Webb said there were two great proliferations of occult literature, demonized charged literature, pre-Nazi Germany, that literally opened the door for the rise of the spiritually given concepts of political ideology, the Nazis, and all that they were. The deception led to the devolution that led to the destruction. The second largest proliferation of occult literature, charged literature, according to an occult historian, was the United States in the 1960s. I understand that. Living through the 60s, reading what I read, doing the stuff that we did, it was just a wide open field that was drawing tens of millions to the dark side of the moon, not the moon. Hell's Kitchen, maybe. So tonight on The Ragged Edge, we're talking about plugging the holes of demonic access, but just before I go over about, let me see here, I think it's about 10, the listings for the doors and what the concept of the legal access means, let me give you a heads up. I got a message from a new friend, and I'm not going to say names again. I always want folks to know from anywhere around the world or here in the United States. We're not going to put your name out unless for some reason I had permission ahead of time or your, you know, interest in me doing that. But here's what it says, quote, first, let me tell you that I was introduced to Mr. Dizdar through the shows he did with Omega Man Radio, Steve Quayle, and the Hagman Report, all of which I found profoundly important. It has been a few years now that a murder incident involving a young person who ascribed the source of motivation behind the murder, which she would eventually perpetrate, to a fictional character called the Slender Man or Slender Man. Let me just stop for a second on the email note here. Again, I believe the Slender Man is a manifestation of a real entity that is operative in the author of the book and has presence and is real. And as anybody reads charged literature, the demonic presence that is either attached to or attending to will seek to engage. The real entity will seek to engage the reader. So my new friend out of Germany, by the way, we've been to Germany once, and I'm planning. I now it's burning in my soul to go there, Belgium, Croatia, Yugoslavia, Russia. So these are all trips still being prayed out and looked at, talked at in serious detail now. But my friend from Germany watched a video, maybe kind of a parody, of and it's kind of called, if you ever heard the Rolling Stones song, Sympathy for the Devil, it's that kind of idea here. No sympathy for Slender Man. And so I went and watched. It's on YouTube. It's called Sympathy for Slender Man's Song. And it's done in a parody of a cartoon characters where Slender Man is, you're made to feel that Slender Man is the victim. And you need to have some sympathy for Slender Man, the entity, until the end of the video. So I want to say thank you to my new friend out of Germany for sending this, looking at this, because it's bizarre. It really is a bizarre parody that makes the entity look like the victim. Another friend, a new friend that has written to me, I'm going to quote some of what this individual has written. I want you to know what's going on in the world around us. Again, I'm not going to share his name. I appreciate it. Bless him as if he's listening now or later on archives. It begins by saying, Jesus Christ is Lord. Praise the Lord. I write from Transylvania, Romania. Now listen, you give us an invitation to Transylvania, Romania. I'm going to bring my team. We're going to come. By God's grace, Transylvania, Romania, which is slowly being engulfed by the darkness that now drowns America. Listen to this email. Quote, I am 23 years old and have this year returned to God through faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Providence led me to your material, and I now write in hopes of contacting you so that I may share and obtain information that will help the brethren here in getting prepared for the coming chaos. Isn't that amazing? So to my new friend in Transylvania, Romania, we pray the Lord Jesus power, a blessing, and strength. You write me another note. I'll pack up a whole box of books or materials, whatever you need, and I'm going to send you some stuff. And I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask you to pray. Maybe we need a big evangelistic meeting in Transylvania, Romania. Now, we've had a call, and I'm going to give you the sound of what the call was like. Ras Dizdar. Come to Croatia, many, many demonized people. That broke my heart when I heard that. And it's like, we're praying, we're looking, we're seeing what we can do. And amongst all the things right now, because we can't even get back to all of those who email us, but I'm giving you these. Here's what it says from Transylvania, Romania, quote, a 23-year-old writing to me, and I'm proud of this man. He says this. I see folks my age spending time in bars and clubs thinking about the next party, the next meal, or what clothes to wear. So many are asleep and unaware of what is planned. I want to gather knowledge as a first phase before I can begin to adequately warn people in order that they may believe and start preparing. I have one person who I can talk to about this, and they go on concerning what they want here, and they are looking for information. So you pray for our friend from Germany that wrote to us. You pray for our new brother in Christ, 23-year-old, from Transylvania, Romania, and we're going to give him any and all things that we can to help him out there. Now, when we look at tonight's plugging the holes of demonic access, and it's not just humanity going out seeking the demons. Listen, when you have hundreds of thousands of new books put out that are spiritually charged and guided, and then tens of thousands of others read, millions reading collectively, well, then they're inspired. You got to understand the inspired writings are huge, huge in the world that we live in today. And that means that the Didache Daimonia, the prophecy of 2,000 years ago, when we read in 1 Timothy 4:1, the Holy Spirit, listen, there's a difference between the Holy Spirit of God, uncreated, eternal, God himself, vast difference between all the finite spirits. You can summon all the finite spirits, all the finite fallen angels, collectively, and add to them 100,000 times over, they don't begin to scratch the surface of the infinity of God the Holy Spirit. You're a believer in Christ. That's why we read in 1 John 4, megas, that is, huge, greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world, in reference to God the Holy Spirit inside of you, than the Satan and demons and so forth in the world. So again, believers are to be the ones shining like the real luminaries, a light shining in a dark place. It's going to be a darker place the next number of years, depending on how much time we have. So if you understand the biblical revelation, the hordes of demons and fallen ones on the other side have been and are in a designed agenda to break through the veils to get over to this side, to get onto this side, to get into lives, because they have a global agenda. Revelation 12, it is absolutely a global agenda, and these, in comparison to unaided fallen humanity, these are the super beings. These are the entities, the non-human entities as they see them. These are the aliens. These are the presence, the masters, and whatever they want to present themselves as and or morph into without changing their nature agenda. But once you understand their agenda, then you got to understand that it's important for you. It's important for your family, your children, your grandchildren. It's important for your nation. So I thank you, my friend from Germany and my friend from Transylvania, Romania, for caring about the people in your area. Biggest thing I can encourage you and everyone else is going to the book of Acts and seeing the power of God in the accomplishment of the mission of God in the reaching of the world. And I believe this, believers that are lit up with the Spirit of God, the Word of God, and doing the mission of Christ consistently, number one, they're doing right. Number two, God in his presence, the living Christ is all over them. Three, fruit is being bore all over the place. And you really see them getting stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. And by the time you come to Acts 5:42, they never stopped. They literally became unstoppable. So I want you to hear me as a believer in your relationship to Christ and your yieldedness, your obedience, your stepping out in obedience. Sometimes you don't have anybody else around. I love working with teams. I love the team members that go with me all over. I love that fact. I count on them, and I hope they count on me. But I love going with brothers and sisters in Christ that can pray it up together and witness together and engage where we're going and doing what we're doing. But one of the reasons we have a lot of stories over the last 39 years being on the field in full-time ministry, one of the reasons is doing the work of God again and again and again and again and again and again. And pretty soon it's like your own book of Acts, the acts of God in Christ through your life in the accomplishment of that mission of God. So I want you to hear me clearly wherever you are in all the world, wherever you are in all the world. I don't care if you're sitting in a prison. I don't care if you're in an old apartment complex somewhere, in a trailer, at the university. You can become an astounding light in a dark place under an obedient, committed walk with the living Christ. And you just step out to walk with him and do the will of God. You read the book of Acts and look at the believers and look at these second generation believers. That's what you can expect. Until Christ comes, I don't care how dark it gets, you could become the empowered luminary for Christ. Take a read again, Philippians chapter 2. We'll read it again in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. Now, on to this tonight, plugging the holes in demonic access. If we know the scriptures well enough, we know that there's going to be just more and more and more and more. And I'm going to tell you again, based on the scripture, more and more and more and more of the demonic interaction with humanity with a goal of subjugating the entire planet. That's right, Revelation 12, you can read it there. It is a global, they want the billions. They want your nation, they want your family, they want your life, they want it all, and that's what their agenda is. So as real as that is, unaided humanity is being just deceived left and right and being overtaken and embracing the charged political ideology of globalism and all the rest. And little girls who may not have anything are embracing what they don't even know, where they think it's fantasy writings and things that are dumbed down to look like cartoons and kids' characters can be lit up with demonic presence. And that deception, obviously in those girls' case, led to devolution and destruction. And she's not delivered. And may I say to the psychiatrists and psychologists of the courts, when it's demonic activity like this, you don't get delivered by a drug. You don't get delivered by years in a psych ward. You get delivered by the immediate setting free authority and power and compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can take a read of this later, Ephesians chapter 4. It's the place we're told not to grieve the Spirit of God, that we've been the Spirit of God dwelling in us. And then God speaks to us, to the believer, and says, be angry, but don't sin. Don't let the sun go down in your anger and give the devil a foothold. So ultimately, God is commanding that we do not give the devil a foothold, a topos. I'm going to read here definition straight from the lexicon stuff. Short definition is to give the devil a place, a region, a seat, an opportunity. Properly, it is said to be a portion of space marked off. Don't give the devil, don't give the demons a portion of space marked off of them. As it were, from the surrounding areas being used. So if you get into anger and bitterness long enough, strong enough, you're going to give the demonic side, you're going to give a portion of space marked off of them. If you get into lust and if you get into other sin issues, we're going to talk about, I think, 10 or 11 of the doorways that literally give them the topos, the legal right to begin to engage with interaction, to seek you, to work, to lay hold of. See, there's a lot of believers that have strongholds. You think it's just in your mind, but actually what occurred is the demonic brought it and you embraced it, and a particular portion of space marked off, whatever it is you believe, whatever it is you're practicing, has opened a legal right, an actual doorway for the demonic to grab a hold of that and hold you. And there's times that you've struggled. There's times that you wanted to break free and you're disappointed in yourself and you wonder what's going on. Well, it's not just flesh and blood. It's the necessary things, and I'm going to tell you right now so you can be thinking about it. The necessary things, four R's. I always bring in four R's. Number one, repentance. That's the Greek word metanoia, to completely and absolutely turn around from it. Number two, and I believe that repentance involves renunciation, renouncing what occurred. I mean, just clearly, cognitively, you know, I repent, Lord. I'm shutting the door. I'm going to renounce this. I'm completely turning away. You're shutting the door. You're repenting of the sin and so forth. Thirdly, resist. You read this in James. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Now, it begins with submit to God. Resist the devil. So it always begins with you as a believer going to the Lord and submitting and yielding. And that's out of an imperative, a command to do so. If you want to be harassed and bugged and half-baked and not be able to grow and confused and feel guilty, then do nothing. They'll just keep sitting all over you. They'll just keep harassing you. They'll just keep holding on to what you've given them. See, believers, you can have attack come into your life like Job. You can have oppression come against you like Peter and the disciples when Satan asked to sift them as wheat. But you can also give a legal right to them. You've done this. I'm going to go over the 10 or 11 doorways that even some believers have given. The way out of all of that, repentance immediately, renunciation of the issue, resist the devil, and here's why I say with the authority of Christ, command any and everything away. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command any demonic presence that I've allowed in any way to come in and take a peace or space or room, or if I've given you a right, I renounce, I repent, first of all, I renounce this, I resist you, and in the name of Jesus, I command you to get away, never come back. And then the fourth R is rely. Rely on the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll you confess that sin. He's going to be faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you. 1 John 1:9. Wow. To be right now cleansed. Time doesn't cleanse you. Time doesn't cleanse you. Jesus Christ does. So now repent, now renounce, now resist, and now rely completely on the Lord Jesus in your relationship. That's vital for you right now. So if you have given, you know, if you looked out the window and you see a hornet's nest and you see hornets all around your window, and I know we would sit back and think, who would be dumb enough to open the window and just let all those hornets come in? Who'd be dumb enough to open the window and reach out and grab a hold of the hornet's nest with your bare hands? You give them a legal access. You give them a topos. You give them a portion of space marked off your hand into your house. They're going to come. They're going to attack you. They're going to come in. So if you give way, if you open the door, a legal right, an actual doorway to the demonic realm, they're going to take it. That's what they do. Now, I'm going to give you the list of the doorways that I'm talking about here when it says, when God says in Ephesians 4, don't give the devil this topos, this foothold. Don't do it. Let me give you this list. Number one, this is very important. Right at the top of the list, being lost. Being lost. If you're listening to this, whether live right now or later on sometime, or somebody has sent it to you, or you've gotten a hold of a YouTube video that somebody took this and put it up, thank you for that, by the way, for those who do. We've not put up any of your videos, and we have so many out there that people have put up. We thank you for that. They've obviously been effective in reaching people. Many people go to visuals and not just audio. But let me say this, for you read in Ephesians chapter 2, that Satan is the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in those who are disobedient, those that are lost. If you're lost and the Spirit of Christ does not dwell in you, and you read Romans 8, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of His. I don't care what kind of religious, you know, mysticism you hold. I don't care what you say you went to church, you know what a stained glass window looks like. It doesn't make any difference. If you do not have the Spirit of Christ inside of you, a church building, a church is not the Savior. It doesn't save. A building is just a building. It could be bombed and brought down. There's a lot of beautiful buildings, but they're just buildings. But if you're lost, Satan already has a right to you. And the scriptures would teach that he has a legal ownership of your life. That God is on the outside. You are lost. Your sin is on you. Hell has rights to you. And you're in danger. You're in big danger, regardless of your background. Had nothing to do with your education. Has nothing to do with your talents. If you're lost, you're lost. If God is on the outside, the devil has rights on the inside. You have a sin nature, a fallen nature, and you're separated. That's why Christ came. See, salvation involves the living Christ coming back into your life, bringing the Spirit of God in, forgiveness, and then breaking the sin code, breaking the death code, breaking Satan's rights, and bringing God's presence right into your life, thus being born of the Spirit, born again, born of the Spirit of God, made alive to God. I've been made alive almost 40 years ago, and that's knowing God and relationship with God and knowing that you're going to see Him face to face. Well, that's salvation, the centrality of it. So if you're lost, your life is a wide open door to the other side, owning you, deceiving you, using you. And that's why tens of millions in the New Age ufology, well, the New Age movement itself, maybe a billion worldwide. So the spirits, the spirit of Antichrist is operative in the world big time. And if the spiritual source you have doesn't lead you to the living Christ, who is God in human flesh and Savior, into the relationship through a salvation that God wants you to have, then you don't have God. They have you. So if you're lost, that's the biggest door. You come to Christ, that door is shut. God comes in. 1 John 5, this Savior will protect you and give you all that's necessary. Let's get to the list, though, of the other doors. Number one, or out of this, is lies. You know, Satan, when he engages in Genesis 3, he's masqueraded. He's coming to dazzle. And everything he speaks is a lie. He's, you know, Jesus says it when he comes in the Gospels, that he's the father of lies, the originator of lies. We read in the book of Hebrews, God cannot lie. God does not lie. I like to tell people, since I became a Christian, you know, I can't tell you, maybe I did somewhere, I don't know. But I tell people, I'm really, this is important to me. I don't lie. When I work with victims and people on the street and people in the underground, I tell them clearly, I don't lie. See, I believe lies come from the enemy. And I believe that if you're lying, you're opening a door. If you're a believer, you know, if you're lying, if you're, you know, you're opening a door for the enemy to, you know, to attach and to make that stronger and make a disposition in you to lie. That's got to be broken by what? Repentance, renunciation, resisting the devil and commanding him away in Jesus' name, and relying on the Lord and the truth and all that God gives you. Let me tell you also that lies could be things sent to you by the enemy. Ephesians chapter 6, we're to lift up the shield of faith by which we can extinguish, put out all the fiery darts of the evil one. Well, the fiery darts are involuntary communication. In other words, they are lies, actual communications sent in thought form or feelings. If all of a sudden as a believer you absolutely, overwhelmingly feel like God is nowhere around you, it's a lie. He's in you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Hebrews 13, right? Lies carry the power of doubt and open the door when you believe them to the enemy's operating presence and brings oppression. When you believe truth, the word of God, when you believe truth, the Spirit of God's behind truth. And so when you're believing truth, you're believing God, and the Spirit of God is able to be operative when you're believing. You can find that out in the book of 1 Thessalonians. You can take a read when the writer says, when they believe the Word of God as it actually is, not as the Word of men, but as it actually is, the Word of God that is at work, that's a word, ergase. It means supernaturally operative in your life when you're believing it. Let me tell you this in the biblical sense. Believing, biblical believing, the kind that God wants, and obeying is inseparable. If you believe it, you're obeying God. If you are believing God, you're putting into practice. You know, fake faith is like we read about in James, where you just mental assent. Real biblical faith is I believe and I receive and I'm stepping out. If you know, and you're reading the word and you're putting it into practice, that's faith in action. But if lies, now you can pray this as I'm going through the list, and I pray this too. I pray based on Psalm 139 that God would search us, see if there's any open doors. God knows how to search. Simply pray, Lord Jesus, search me right now. I'm praying that I want to find out if there's any doorways in my life that the enemy's been using or brought to me or that I have not repented of, renounced, resisted, and so forth. So lies can be big. I mean, lies can be what you're doing, but lies can be things that you've held on to. There could be people that said things to you that are lies. There could be teachings that are not the scripture at all. There could be doubts that demons send to you by feeling, by thought, through other people, that God's not there, that Christ isn't with you, that, you know, anything that opposes the character of God, the word of God, and the will of God, that's coming from the enemy. So right now, if there's any lies and you're identifying, you can take a piece of paper out. You can take a piece of paper out and you can write down. And if God, listen, the Spirit of truth is revealing and showing you that you got lies that you've received, then the enemy will have rights. You've given the enemy a topon to bring oppression, a topon to hold you, literally hold you and suppress your faith in Christ. thus quench the Spirit, thus grieve the Holy Spirit. Let me give you number two. Deception on any level. In other words, if you've allowed yourself in any way, an old psychic told you this, some old superstition told you that, some false teaching you got years ago, false prophecy or something, any deception on any level, Satan is always doing this. This is what 1 Timothy 4:1 is all about, that seducing spirits will come, and there's going to be those that are going to depart from the faith. Because they're coming to bring, you know, a assimilation of the entire population. But they have no problem attacking the believer. Listen, if they can cripple a believer, they'll make the believer ineffective. How could the believer be a light? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. There's a radiance of Christ coming through the lit up believer walking with the Lord. How can you be a light in the dark place if the dark side cripples you? Any deceptions going on in your life, it's time to repent of those, to renounce those, to throw them out, to resist the devil, to command anything associated with it. Get out in the name of Jesus and then utterly rely on the truth. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. The Word of God is the truth. The Word of truth. Scour the Word of God. Read the Word of God. Get it into your life. It's alive with God's very personal presence. He's in, on, and with His Word. When you read it, you're in fellowship. You cannot read the Word of God without God being operative. If you're lost and you want to know, go read the Gospel of John or the Gospel of Mark and just say, God, show me yourself. Begin to read it and look at a Savior that's revealed to you. If you're a believer praying, Lord, search me, well, let me give you number three. Unrepented sins like anger and bitterness, two of the big ones. So I can see the emphasis in Ephesians 4, you know, about being angry, but don't sin. You know, when anybody gets angry, it's not a sin just because, I can get angry against Planned Parenthood, against abortion, against human trafficking, against ritual stuff, all the rest. I can get angry at the Slender Man deception because of the girls that were deluded and the girl that got stabbed. She's going to have those little scars on her body the rest of her life. That can make me angry in that sense. But again, in the flesh, people get angry and they get revenge. They get filled with rage. They hold on to the anger. They get bitter. And I'm going to tell you right now, God requires a believer to forgive and not sin in that anger. Don't let the sun go down holding on to anger day after day after day. You know it's going to turn into down at the bottom of the barrel of your soul, bitterness. Grieve the Spirit of God, quench the Spirit of God, or do you want to be filled with the Spirit of God? So repenting. See, the devil can get access and help sit on and hold and give you reasons to be so angry at another person. And that anger can spill out on everybody else. You just got anger inside of you and the enemy's sitting on a particular area that you've given a right to, then you watch how that anger is going to spill off into other areas and you're going to be showing anger to other people. And you know that it's from this unrepentant, undealt with anger. So you got to repent of it, renounce it, resist the devil, command the demonic away. You know, you're breaking that chain. And then rely on the Lord Jesus. You'll be set free. You'll be released. Number four. Anytime you've welcomed the occult, the New Age, psychic readings, you know, dream catchers, you know, anytime you've gotten into any of these things, and sometimes we didn't know, sometimes it was unwitting. I mean, really, you know, if you're a believer, there's a lot of things we didn't know. A lot of things in Harry Potter, because of the dumbing down, because it's kids and they look just like little harmless boys and girls and all the other stuff. You don't realize how deep the occultism is, how deep the dark side principles of magic and ritual. And again, watching any of them, reading any of the books, the utter absence. They've erased God from all of it. God's not in those Potter books and films. erased so that just the powers, just occultism. So whether, again, you've had a background of this, maybe you've had a background. I think it's important now that when people get saved today, whatever your background, if you're into ufology and you're into the aliens, if you're into practices in Reiki and New Age things and or Satanism or whatever you once were and giving yourself to and the spirits that had access and rights to you, listen, when you get saved and come out of that, I do know experientially that they at least try to reclaim. They come to life. And I don't know how many times I've done deliverance on individuals, and they called back 2 days later, and they said, the demon returned, and it says that it has rights to come back, or it's coming back. And I tell them, so that I don't have to pray for them every time, just get up in the name of Jesus, rebuke them, tell them never to come back. And listen, you've repented, you've renounced, you're resisting the devil, and he will flee from you. There'll be a release. You can, again, use authority in Christ and command any demonic presence that I've given access to. Get out of here in the name of Jesus and don't come back. I renounce any occult door, any psychic door, any New Age door, anything I've done to open the doors. Anything in my house that are open doors, charged objects and so forth, and anything that I brought in, I want to get rid of. And so that's really, repenting, renouncing. And sometimes we don't even know. And yet we have something in the house that's giving access to the demonic to bring harassment and oppression in a house. You see, believers are to be filled with the Spirit of God, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Truly, when the believer is walking with Christ, you know what? There really is a sense of liberation and freedom and enjoying the Lord. If you've lost your joy, the Galatians, Paul asked, they lost their joy in the Lord. You know why? Somebody came in with false teaching that diverted them from their pure faith in Jesus and was drawing them away to works, religious works, and they were losing their joy. Instead of relying on Christ, they begin to rely on works. And the Holy Spirit is given to those that believe in Jesus. You read that in Galatians. He's not given to those who do works to gain salvation, because you can't gain salvation by works. You get saved, the Spirit of God comes in, and he empowers you to do the good works of Jesus that are there for bearing fruit, not obtaining salvation. Let's go to number 6, family lines. Maybe somebody in your family. It's okay to say, Lord, is there anybody in my family? Grandfathers, anybody, uncles? Did anybody open the door to the enemy? If they have, I want to pray, renounce that. I want to renounce it for my family, my life. So in the name of Jesus, I renounce any spirits, any generational spirits, anything my family, grandfathers, grandmothers, aunts, uncles, moms, dad, anything they opened up to that brought a right to the demons to come into our family line. I renounce that. I am now born of the Spirit of God. I acknowledge the blood of the Lamb in my life, that I am now under the lordship of Christ. And I renounce anything of the family past, any doorways, I renounce. And if you know them specifically, you can name them. Clear the air. Rebuke the spirits and say, get out, never come around here. I belong to Jesus. Now, the next one is current associations. Do you have anybody around you that's a practitioner into the occult or have spirits operative and on them? Please understand something. If you're a believer, you have the Spirit of God operative in you and charismatic giftings, you should be influencing them. You should be sharing the gospel. Your silence aids and abets the enemy's hold on their life. I'd rather risk a friend getting mad at me by sharing the love of Christ and telling them over and over and praying for them over and over and over again than for them to lose their soul while I was utterly silent. Watch out for the associations and so forth. So if you're in associations and workplaces and other everywhere else, you got to realize that workplaces now, people that are practitioners of things, just go up lit up for in Christ, and you're shielded by God's power through faith in Christ. You ever read that? First Peter chapter 1, you're guarded. The word means shielded. Next one, objects. Any objects in your home, any objects in your car, any objects, you know, old stuff. Maybe some of you gotten saved and there's some, maybe there's an addict, whether inside the heart or in your actual addict closet. Objects that have given doorways that have been charged up or something, get rid of those. And then there's places. Are there places you go over and over and over again where the dark side has operating presence? And why? So the issue is, are you going there to evangelize? Are you going there to pray down the dark powers? Or do you go in and they influence you? You will either be a believer strong and powerful that brings the influence of God and the victory, or you'll quench the Spirit of God, grieve the Spirit of God, become crippled and silent, suppressed. And that's not what God's called us to be. The last one I'm going to say here on this list anyway, because we're coming to the very end of our hour, is drugs. And yes, I'm going to say this worldwide. I'm going to say it here in the United States. In the state of Ohio, me being a former pothead, I have every understanding experientially for years as we smoked up. I smoked up at times daily, after day, and years, and other drugs, of course. And for me and all of the friends around me, yes, it was a gateway drug. It all led to other things. And when I engage now and I'm seeing, you know, people talking about medical stuff and so forth, the majority, it's just potheads, partiers, and wanting to smoke up. And there's money involved by the billions of dollars nationwide, right? So please understand that pharmakia is a big issue in the book of Revelation. That is the gateway, the spirit, demonically inspired use of drugs that become the doorways. That's why sorcerers and maguses and priestesses and so forth, they all know, old shamans all around the world, ayahuasca, all the other drugs, they know this. They know this. So I'm going to tell you right now, the repentance of any and all drugs, the drugs that open doors, the drugs that alter states of reality, as they say, those are the kind of drugs that open the doors to the spirits to be operative and send the thoughts and bring deeper influence. And so, listen, when I got saved that same night, filled with the Spirit of God, for me, it was like a Cornelius experience, Book of Acts. I burned it all. I burned it all the drugs, everything I could find, all of it. All the occult literature, all the objects, all the things, all that stuff. I found a big barrel out in the side of the yard that we burned trash out in the country. I took everything and loaded it to the gills. Poured the gas, lit the match, stood back, praising God, because I was clean. I was filled with the joy of the Lord. I was filled with to really know Christ. I realized how close I came to hell itself, how deeply I was being deceived by the spirits. Come to Christ. Turn your life over to Jesus. We're at the end of the hour. This is Russ Dizdar, the Ragged Edge radio broadcast on this night. Remember us in your prayers. For those who can, remember us in support. Good night.